Okay. Well, good morning. I hope everyone did have a great Christmas. So we are going to be continuing in Luke chapter 2. Last Sunday, we were reading Luke chapter 2, and it was about the birth of Jesus, how wonderful that was. Thank you, God. And so as I was studying and preparing and reading, the Lord was like, just continue. And I was like, okay, fantastic. I really appreciate it when the Lord is like, this is what I want you to talk about. I'm like, great, great. I don't feel like I have to stress so much. And as as I was studying, he began to reveal just certain things that I really love. I really appreciate it when scripture, like I mentioned last time, feels kind of like a puzzle piece. And you get these little nuggets here and there, and you get to put them together, and you're like, wow, Lord, you're so amazing. Because so many people, at least, you know, come to me, and they're like, I kind of read the Bible here and there, but it's kind of boring. I was like, no, it's not boring at all. Especially when you're like, Lord, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Revelation, would you come in, and would you just blow my mind? Would you just show me something that I can't just see with my eyes when I read scripture, right? Would you show my heart something? Would you reveal it to my soul? Would you just make it come alive? And I feel like he did that for me, continuing in Luke 2. So I pray that it's the same for everyone here. We do have some slides. It will be in the NLT version, the New Living version. Anyways, okay, so Luke 2, this is where we're going to start. It is talking about Jesus is presented in the temple. So he was just born, and now Mary and Joseph are bringing him to the temple. We start in verse 21. It says, 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Just going to pause. So Jesus, his name, he was given by an angel before he was conceived. Okay. So again, God's word is always faithful, right? It will come to pass. If he has said it, it will happen. We talked about that last Sunday as well, right? Being so thankful for how faithful God is to us. Right? And also, God knows your name even before you're born. He is so personal. He is so intimate. He knows your name even before you're conceived or born. That is how present he truly is. Even my own two girls, they were actually nameless for like a day and a half. Yeah, we didn't find out gender or anything like that. We just finally had them. We're like, woo, oh my gosh, it's a girl. What's the name? I don't know. I don't know what this baby's name is. And we prayed and prayed and asked the Lord, and we're saying, Lord, this baby was just with you, right? In the word, it talks about God knitting you together in your mother's womb in that secret place. The Lord himself fashions us with his hands, and until he's like, perfect. And then the baby comes, right? The baby is born. I'm like, Lord, this baby was just with you. You know her name. What is her name? And then the names finally came to us. That happens to be our story. But they were nameless for a day and a half. So Jesus himself isn't even called Jesus until 8 days later. But it's just so beautiful. Verse 22. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses, after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, like a baby dedication. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Okay, so let's pause right there. So the law of Moses, it is all the way back in Leviticus 12, verse 1 through 4. Purification after childbirth. I'm going to kind of paraphrase, but it's Leviticus 12, 1 through 4. It's talking about when a woman becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son, she will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. And on the eighth day, the boy will be circumcised. And after waiting about 33 days, she will be purified since giving birth to her child. So Joseph and Mary, they are obeying the law of Moses, right? The law from the Lord given to Moses. Leviticus 12, verse 6, it says, when the time of purification is completed for either a son or a daughter, the woman must bring a one-year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or turtle dove for a purification offering. She must bring her offerings to the priest at the entrance of the tabernacle. The priest will then present them to the Lord to purify her. Then she will be ceremonially clean again after childbirth. And these are the instructions for a woman after the birth of a son or daughter. And if a woman cannot afford to bring a lamb, she must bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. One will be for the burnt offering and the other for the purification offering. The priest will sacrifice them to purify her, and she will be ceremonially clean. Let's go back to Luke 2. So they are obeying what the Lord has said for them to do. So Joseph and Mary, they have their baby boy on purpose. They're traveling. 33 days later, right? They have to travel from where they are at all the way to Jerusalem, right? And bring them to the tabernacle, to the priest, right? To dedicate this baby to the Lord. Because even Exodus 13, 1 through 2, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites. The first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belongs to me. Okay, so back in Luke 22, it says, then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of the child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. Okay. So picture this in your mind. They just had a baby. 8 days later, he's circumcised. Then on purpose, they have to travel 33 days later. They bring him to the temple. They're dedicating him to the Lord, right? This baby is holy and set apart, right? Walking in, she's walking into the temple, holding on to her baby boy, right? Her and Joseph, we have to do this. We're obeying the Lord. We're obeying the law of Moses. They are in obedience. When we are in obedience, the Lord blesses us. This is what happens. Verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. What a promise to carry, okay? That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God. We'll just pause right there. See the picture, okay? Please see it. Mary and Joseph, they have their brand new little baby. When y'all have your brand new little baby, do you let anybody and their mother just take your baby and hold them? No. No, you don't. Usually you don't. You have a baby carrier and they're all swaddled and wrapped up and all that. They're like, the baby is on me and you're not touching them because you probably have a cold or you have germs and you don't touch my baby, right? Not the case. Simeon lives in Jerusalem. Simeon has never met Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph have never laid eyes on Simeon. I don't know exactly how old Simeon is as well, but it makes me think along these lines, he's probably up there in age, right? Because the Lord said, be cool, relax, all right? You're not going to die until you see the Messiah, right? Until you see the salvation of Israel, until you see the Christ. Okay, so these two strangers are now meeting. Mary has the baby, right? They just walk into the temple. Simeon is only led to the temple that day, it says, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is involved. He has this day planned, okay? It is actually very exciting, right? So see it in your mind. Please try, right? See this picture. Simeon arrives at the temple. Mary and Joseph walk in holding their baby. And Simeon took the child out of Mary's hands and started praising God. I wonder if Mary and Joseph were so shocked, like, you just take my baby from my arms? Like, who are you? I don't even know who you are. Why are you taking my son? Right? And Mary and Joseph have had encounters with angels, and they know this is the Son of God. He's a little extra special, okay? Like, who are you to touch my baby, right? But Simeon is saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. Okay, if I was Mary, I would be freaked out, right? Like, someone just took my baby from my arms and be like, finally, God, I can die. You're like, are you crazy? What's happening, right? But she doesn't. I don't think she does. Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. He is prophesying over this baby. And Mary and Joseph are just standing there hearing what he says. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. And he is the glory of your people, Israel. Can you see this picture playing out in the temple? It says Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Verse 33. They were amazed. They were in awe. Maybe even paralyzed. Like, I'm really in shock. I don't even know what is transpiring before me. Then Simeon probably saw their faces and decided to bless them. Okay? He goes, then Simeon blessed them. And he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Can you imagine if you're Mary standing there, and Joseph as well, and hearing this word said to you about your own boy? Your child is so incredible. He is a light. He is the glory of God for all of Israel, right? He is going to be the cause of so many people rising and falling away. And Mary, at the same time, such opposition is going to come, such pushback to your own boy, that a sword is going to pierce your very soul. Okay, so he's obviously referring to the cross, right? So let's back up for just a second. Let's see the whole picture, right? They get this incredible word from this man that they don't know as they finally walk into the temple. Okay, when we were reading in Leviticus, it was talking about 33 days later. How old was Jesus when he went to the cross? He's 33. The Lord makes no mistakes. He doesn't. He is so precise on certain things, right? 33 days after he is born, they bring him to the temple. In Leviticus, it was saying to bring a one-year-old lamb. Who is Jesus Christ? The Lamb of God. Okay. Mary is physically holding the Lamb of God and bringing him into the temple. Mary herself doesn't sacrifice the Lamb of God. They have turtle doves. They have pigeons, right? It says if you cannot afford to bring a young lamb to have the priest sacrifice it, then you may bring two turtle doves or two pigeons. But in this day right here, it's such a bigger picture of what is going to come. Jesus Christ at 33 years old, as the Lamb of God, is sacrificed on the cross. For what? Purification of our sins. Why are they at the temple? To obey the law of purification offering. Please grab a hold of this. And if I'm doing a job, I'm sorry. Go into your Bible. Go into your Bible and be like, Holy Spirit, really reveal this to me. Really pull back the veil of what I'm seeing right here in your word. It's so much bigger. It's so much deeper because God is incredible. Mary is holding her son. He is the Savior as the world. That's how he is born. Also, he is the sacrificial lamb of God, right? God doesn't do anything by mistake. She walks the Lamb of God in for the purification of sin. And one day, her own soul is going to be pierced with a sword as she looks up at her very firstborn son, crying, screaming, "That's my boy, he's sinless. Why does he have to be up here, right?" But she knows he comes from the Lord. And as her heart, her soul is being pierced, ran through by a sword, so painful, he's up there on the cross, bleeding out, water and blood, giving his life as a sacrifice for purification of our sins, of her sins. He is purifying her. It is absolutely incredible. And things like this is important to almost kind of like stay there for a little while and really chew on that. Like, Lord, would you reveal to me what you really want to say? Like, what picture am I supposed to see? And he will, because the Holy Spirit is so faithful to us. It continues. Verse 36, so at the same time, okay, this is going on. Anna, she's a prophet or a prophetess, okay? Anna, a prophet, who was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. I love that because it wasn't just like she sang songs all day long. I love singing and that is worship. But she worshiped God by fasting and prayer. When we pray, it's worship to the Lord. When we choose to fast, it's worship to the Lord. So she never left the temple. She was always there, continuously worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. You think that's a coincidence? I think not, okay? God plans too perfectly. So she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. And that's exactly what Simeon did too. Started praising God. Like, you can't help it. It's this giant well just springing forth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know what I'm looking at. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior of the world. So Anna walks in, and she begins praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. So when Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. How incredible of a day for Mary and Joseph. They just think, hey, you know what? Okay, 8 days, circumcise the boy. All right, 33 days, obey the law. We got to go up, dedicate the baby, make our offering for purification. This is what we do. We're going to listen and obey. We're going to be in obedience to what the Lord has asked us to do. And then they encounter Simeon, and they have this download of a prophetic word, right? Taking the baby, praising God. They experience all of this. Just so happens Anna walks in too, and she's a prophetess. She's been there for 84 years. She knows everything about the place, right? She also worships and praises and prays to the Lord every single day. She is close to God, right? She knows things just like Simeon, right? The Holy Spirit is upon him, leads him to the temple. Mary and Joseph, I mean, they're probably just smacked. They're like, I didn't expect this at all. I just thought, you know, the two turtle doves, the slice and dice, the priest will do it. Okay, we'll go home, right? I got to nurse this baby, right? Like, I don't think that they're really thinking farther than how this day is unfolding before them. And they stand there in awe and wonder of the goodness of God. And she treasures. Mary is a treasurer, right? She treasures up so many things in her heart. She's like, God, I can't handle you. You know that they go back to their home, to their neighbors, and you're like, let me tell you about my day. Let me tell you what happened. This old dude came, took my kid out of my hands and started worshiping God and prophetically saying the truth over him and even to me. Joseph is just like, I don't even know what's happening, right? And they get to suck it all in. And then Anna also comes in like, oh, I praise the Lord, this child. Simeon and Anna know who has just been brought into the temple. This baby's like just slightly over a month old, maybe. And they know what's happening. And Mary and Joseph are just like, oh, I'm amazed. Wow, I thought I was just obeying what the Lord had asked us to do. And wow, was I radically hit hard with the best of the best that I had no clue was going to come my way from Simeon, from Anna. And they still have the purification offering. They still offer what they have, which truly is the Lamb of God. It's incredible. I bet they just like floated home. Did you realize? Yeah. I mean, really, right? You would have to when you encounter the presence of God, the day he has planned for you, and you're like, well, I thought we were just going to this, but wow, wow. I can't wait to go home and process this with the Lord and with the neighbors and families and friends. Like, do you know what God did? Do you know this boy that I get to hold and take care of? He is something else. He is the light. He is the glory of God to be revealed. And he is the reason, right? So many are going to rise and so many are going to fall. Again, and even that word right there is the picture, right, of when Jesus was feeding the 4,000, the 5,000, right? Thousands of people are coming to him. Feed me, feed me, feed me. I want to hear you. I want to see your signs. I want to see and know what you're about, right? And he feeds all of them. They're all coming to him. And then what happens? We want another sign. Show us another sign. We're kind of hungry. Like, you're only coming for, like, crackers and butter. Like, this is going to end, you know, like a couple crumbs of bread. And then you still want more and more. But they don't want him. They don't want the bread of heaven, right? They just want a couple snacks and then more signs because to them it's just not enough. And they fall away
even though they're there witnessing, I was fed by Jesus Christ. I was fed the word of God by Jesus Christ. Whatever. And they fall away. But then others are just, who else are you but the Son of the living God? You have the words of eternal life. You yourself are God. I'm not going anywhere else, right? The ones that are going to rise and then the ones that are going to fall. It's absolutely incredible. I hope that when you go back and you read this, you're like, okay, wow, that's a little bit deeper than just these particular words on the page. God is so excited to do that with us, to like really make it is alive because it is the word of God, okay? And it is very sharp, right? But sometimes when you read the word, we're like, yeah, I've read it 100 times, whoop-de-doo. No. Ask him, seek his word, seek his presence. Lord, I want this to come alive. I want to really feel like I'm standing in the temple right here with Mary and Joseph. I want to see 9-pound, 13-ounce little chunky baby Jesus in her arms, right? I want to know what Simeon looks like and taking this baby and Mary's face and Joseph like, oh, hold on, babe, don't even do it, right? Like, I want to be there. I want to be present in the word. I want to be alive with it. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will do that. And by the way, if you've ever heard the lie that you are too old or even maybe just, oh, you're dumb, you're too simple, you're whatever, it's a lie that you can't be used because Anna is 84 years old. God will use whoever he chooses, period, okay, at any age, right? Whether you are 2 or 84, you are breathing. He has purpose for you, okay? Your words, oh my gosh, if they are full of him, right, they're gonna hit, they're gonna land, right? Just because Anna was 84 years old doesn't mean she's discarded. Are you kidding me? Anna was the cherry on top, right, for Mary and Joseph. She really was. Like, now who are you? I was amazed when Simeon came in here and started prophesying and saying all the truth. And then Anna, she's gonna like, have the cake too, right? Like, we have been waiting for this child. That's right. I've never seen you or met you before, but I know that this child is the child of God. It doesn't matter that she's 84 years old. God is using her. So if you've also ever heard that, either you're too old, you're too young, you're too simple, or maybe you're too smart, it's a lie. God is going to choose you, and he's going to use you. Amen. Amen. So Lord, we thank you and praise you for who you are. We thank you and praise you, Father God, for how powerful your word is. Let it go in deeply to our souls, to our hearts, to our minds, Father God. Let us be starving for your word. Like, I just can't get enough of it. I want it so badly. I want you, Jesus, so badly. I want that moment to be in amazement, just like Mary and Joseph were amazed by what was transforming, unfolding, presented right before their very eyes at the temple, Lord God. That the picture is so much bigger than what we just actively do in that moment. Your plans are so good for us. And I thank you and praise you, God, that your son truly is the only one. His blood is the only thing that purifies us, cleanses us, washes all of our sin away. I am not my own savior. We are not our own savior. Jesus Christ is the only savior and my personal savior. I thank you, God, for sending him as the savior and as the sacrificial lamb of God. Lord, I could never have done that on my own, but you looked down and you saw me. You saw Mary. You saw all of your children and all of the love that you had for them. You said, I would send my very own. So all of them can be reconciled to me, to Father God. Thank you for being that good. We trust you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you for how sharp your word really is. We ask for that desire that we would hunger for it more. Have that spirit of revelation, your Holy Spirit. I mean, just make it jump off the page for us, Lord God. We thank you and praise you for who you are. We love you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. And now, if you brought a gift, we're going to have a fun white elephant gift exchange. And if not, enjoy your day.